an early Cy Young ballot has released, and somehow Max Fried is in first place in the American League. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can find him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And we are going to talk about that Cy Young first ballot early thing that came out at midnight last night. We'll get to that in a bit. But first, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes just like this go live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And breaking news as I'm reading this, as I'm doing the open, inflation has eased in April for those of you that care about the economy. Drew, how you doing this morning, bud?
You know, it's another beautiful day here in tropical Toledo, Ohio. I need to eat breakfast before I do these things.
Well, you know, I it's funny you say that. I have started something different today. I've decided that I'm going to start drinking water more because water is good for you. And you're supposed to drink water, and I really don't drink as much water as I should. And it's also good to have this on the podcast because, you know, the past month I've been choking my brains out. So hopefully this will help with that. But, you know, we had some baseball games yesterday, and there were some good, there were some bad, but there were only 11 of them. And, you know, today, we'll get to today's games later on. There is a full slate today. But last night's game started with the Brewers at the Guardians. Guardians won 5-0. They are now 24-17. Brewers fall to 20-22. Junis got the win. Freddy Peralta took the loss. Red Sox at the Tigers. Tigers won 14-2 behind Jackson Jobe. He's now 3-0 with a 4.32 ERA. Tanner Houck took the loss. He's 0-3 with an 8.04 ERA. Don't know if this is true or not. Didn't look into it any deeper. But I did see a tweet from, it was a respected source for the record. But they said that this is the first time ever a starting pitcher has allowed 11 or more earned runs in three or fewer innings in the same season. Tanner Houck did that for the second time this year. Ooh. Cardinals at the Phillies. Cardinals won 3-2. Apparently, don't sleep on the Cardinals. Cardinals move to 23-19. Phillies fall to 24-17. Leahy got the win, Strom took the loss, and Helsley picked up his eighth save of the year. Pirates at the Mets. Mets won 4-3. They are now 27-15. Pirates fall to 14-28. Brazoban got the win, and Bednar took the loss in that one. Nationals at the Braves. There were any extra innings last night. Nationals at the Braves. Braves won 4-3. They are now 20-21. Nationals fall to 17-25. Raisel Iglesias, big topic on yesterday's show. He got the win, and Rutledge took the loss in that one. Marlins at Cubs. Cubs win 5-2. Cubs move to 24-18. Marlins fall to 15-25. Cubs and Colin Ray took the win. Cal Contrell took the loss. And Pomerantz, Drew Pomerantz, got his first save of the year. Maybe his career. I'm not sure. Rockies at the Rangers. Rangers won that one 2-1. They are now 21-21, back at 500. Colorado Rockies fall to 7-34. Couldn't be any farther away from 500. Molly took the win, and he allowed a run, and his ERA rose. So if you allow one run over six innings and your ERA goes up, you're having a pretty good year. He's now 4-1 with a 1.47 ERA. Chase Dollander took the loss, 2-4 with a 6.88 ERA. And Webb got the save in that one, his first of the year. Royals beat the Astros in Houston. They are now 25-18. Astros fall back to 500 at 2020. Yep. Michael Waka 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 took the win. Gusto took the loss. And Carlos Estevez picked up his 12th save of the year. Imagine that. He goes to Kansas City and remembers how to pitch. Angels at the Padres. Angels won 9-5. They are now 17-23. Padres fall to 25-15. Burke got the win, and Suarez took the loss. Yankees at the Mariners. Mariners continue their skid as the Yankees win 11-5 over there in the Pacific Northwest. The Yankees are now 24-17. Mariners fall to 22-18. Clark Schmidt was actually the starter in that game yesterday, not Max Fried. They're giving Max Fried an extra day of rest as he is starting today. And Schmidt got the win. Hancock got the loss, not Will Smith. Diamondbacks at the Giants. Diamondbacks won 2-1 to move to 22-20. Giants fall to 24-18. Merrill Kelly got the win. He's 4-2 with a 3.71 ERA. Justin Verlander took the loss. He's 0-3 with a 4.31 ERA. And Shelby Miller picked up his second save of the year. Final thoughts on yesterday's slate of games, Drew.
That Brewers-Guardians game was fun. See, last year when the Reds acquired Jacob Junis, I thought that he was a sleeper agent for the Brewers, just like how Geno Stone is a sleeper agent for the Ravens on the Bengals squad. But I digress. Shout out to Freddie Peralta, the fourth pitcher in Brewers history to eclipse 1,000 strikeouts in his career. I definitely want to focus in on that Tyler Mahle thing. These obviously pitchers, win and losses don't matter, but 4-1, 1.47 ERA right now for those Texas Rangers. Yes, he was playing a double A squad, but it still counts when you're in the major league level. Great for him. And it's funny about the Raisel Iglesias thing, because that was a blown save, because they were up 3-1. Going into the ninth, and he gave up two runs, and then they bailed him out in the bottom. So it's just one of those things. It's hilarious. He went in with a two-run cushion and couldn't keep it. It's so interesting. Raisel Iglesias is. It's just so interesting.
Yeah, it's he pulled off a vulture in that one. And you know, I haven't told you this, Drew, but our old friend of the pod, Lindsey Crosby, will be on the podcast at some point soon, joining Drew and I for a day to talk about the Braves. So keep an eye out for that. We will have a full day worth of Braves talk with Lindsey Crosby, host of the Braves Today podcast, as well as other things with Locked On Sports. But Drew, I think there was one other thing you wanted to touch on before we jumped into this Cy Young thing, about one of the Cincinnati Reds most famous players of all time, who also played for the Phillies, by the way. But what you got, Drew?
Tomorrow, on May 14th, the Cincinnati Reds are going to honor Pete Rose, because he passed away last fall. And it's one of those things for me that is really complicated. Because obviously, when you look at Pete Rose as the baseball player, he's one of the greatest to play. He's one of the greatest to bat. He's one of the greatest to just play in general. Because he started off as nobody and worked his way up. And he didn't have much of that like natural God-given talent. And he worked his way into what should have been a Hall of Fame career. And then obviously the whole betting on baseball thing, which personally is annoying, but it does not bother me nearly as much, especially today, as it used to, considering the fact that we watch baseball on FanDuel Sports Network. It's just that whole thing is just asking for trouble. The Reds are going to honor Pete Rose. They've already got a statue outside right there on Crosley Terrace, and it's really cool. It's got him diving into, I think it was the iconic diving into third thing, but there are things about Pete Rose that it's really difficult to separate the art from the artist, so to speak. Pete Rose was not a good person when he was alive, at least when he was playing. And I think I'll just leave it there. But if you are going to look at strictly a baseball player, the guy that was between the lines and in the dugout, Pete Rose is 100% a Hall of Fame player, obviously. The hit king of Major League Baseball. Obviously, Ichiro has more hits if you include his overseas ones, but it's such a weird, complicated, nuanced mess that was actually made so much easier with him taking that lifetime ban. Because Pete Rose knew that if he was going to fight that lifetime ban, there would be discovery. And who knows what else is out there that we don't already know, between the betting and the unscrupulous relationships, we'll say. So it's such a difficult topic, and it is so disappointing in general. But I understand why the Reds are recognizing him, because in terms of Reds history, he's obviously on Mount Rushmore with the greats of, you know, Johnny Bench and whoever else you want to put up there. I would put Joey Votto, but that's just because I'm 30 years old and I watched him my entire life. But yeah, no, tomorrow, if we don't get to it, the Reds are going to honor Pete Rose, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, as you said, if you can separate art from the artist, he is 100% one of the greatest to ever do it. Charlie Hustle himself, and you know what he was able to do on a baseball field was just just crazy, and for how long he did it too, it's crazy. And he was one of the last instances of a player manager in Major League Baseball. What Pete Rose did on the baseball field was crazy. And, you know, we've seen a lot of pitching performances this year, and a lot of guys who, what they've done on the baseball field and on the mound in particular has been crazy. And there was an article released from MLB.com last night, and it was the first Cy Young poll of 2025. And it ranked, it's looking at five pitchers from both the National League and the American League who led in the Cy Young poll from MLB.com. All stats are through Sunday, but it's just kind of interesting to me. We'll go through this list real quick. We'll start with the National League, and then we'll get to the American League, because I think the American League is a lot more egregious with who's leading than who's leading in the National League. And in the National League, tied for fourth, you have Zach Wheeler and Hunter Green. Tied for fourth. Zach Wheeler received 4 first-place votes. Hunter Green received 2 first-place votes. And it could be biased from this podcast. I'm not sure. But I do believe that both of those guys deserve better and deserve to be higher on the list than tied for fourth, especially over Logan Webb, who... Not to take anything away from Logan Webb, I'm a big Logan Webb fan because I like me some workhorses, but Zach Wheeler and Hunter Green have both had better years than Logan Webb. Number 3 is Logan Webb. Number 2, popularity contest, Paul Skenes. 3 first-place votes for Paul Skenes. His season has been nowhere near as good as it was last year. Still good, not great. He should not be anywhere near first place for Cy Young voting. Number 1, kind of hard to argue right now, but number 1 for the National League right now is Yoshinobu Yamamoto of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, hard to argue right now. His 1.8 ERA leads the National League. He did have a rough start last week on Thursday. I think a lot of that was due to his schedule changing from where he had been pitching on Fridays every week for about a month, and then he pitched on a Thursday. We saw the same thing with Roki Sasaki the very next day, who also had his start moved up a day from where it normally was. So we'll see what they do with that this week. I have not looked that far ahead into the week, but National League only right now, Drew. How do you feel about these votes for the National League?
Overall, it doesn't bother me all that much because, again, it is May 13th. However, when it comes to some of these awards, and we were talking right before the pod that I like the Cy Young voting a little bit more than a lot of other awards, both in baseball and elsewhere, just because that they're able to look past all of the, you know, the win-loss record. You know, we had Jacob deGrom a couple of years ago. And just in general, I'm not too concerned just because it's super early. However, If you take stock in WAR, both Baseball Reference WAR and Fangraphs WAR, it's interesting how everything shakes up, at least in the NL. The top 5 in terms of F-WAR are Logan Webb, Jesus Luzardo, Zach Wheeler, Matthew Liberatore, Paul Skenes. And then if you look at B-WAR, the top five are Luzardo, Hunter Green, Wheeler, Kodai Senga, and Sanchez from the Phillies. The Phillies have three top five when it comes to B-War. And, you know, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is nowhere to be found, which, of course, it's probably due to the fact that he has fewer starts than most of the other guys because of that once-a-week thing. In general, I don't have too much of an issue with it. I am very interested to see how Hunter Green looks when he comes back from this groin injury after missing 2 weeks. Super disappointing because he was really hitting his stride. Unfortunately, that's probably what popped the groin. I won't argue with it just yet. It will be, I'm definitely looking forward to the discourse at the end of the year when Yoshinobu Yamamoto, I'm butchering his name, Yamamoto is up there against one of these other pitchers and he has a handful fewer starts. And everyone's like, well, yeah, his stats are better. If he pitched on a 5-day rotation or something like that, and dealt with the fatigue and so on and so on and so forth, so on. You know how the discourse is going to be because baseball fans are anything but happy. I don't hate it just yet because he is definitely, you know, the best pitcher in the National League right now. The Paul Skeens thing is interesting. I do think it's interesting because he hasn't obviously been the Paul Skeens that we saw take everything by storm last year. But that's the fun thing about these is Cy Young and a lot of these other things, a lot of them are narrative based. And I'm going to get to that on the AL side as well. But if you start a narrative early, then it's hard for you to come back from it. Tarik Skubal did a good job of coming out of nowhere with Detroit on the AL side last year. But you got to get the narrative going early for some of these non-premier guys or non-large market guys, I should say. And, you see it. You see what the list right now, because you got big market and then massive name and so on and so forth. So I'm interested to see how this evolves over the next few months.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely not as you said, it's not as egregious as it would be if this were the rankings come the end of the season. Like, if these guys had this exact same performance the rest of the year, having Zach Wheeler and Hunter Green finish tied for fourth, it would be pretty egregious. And then, of course, there are others receiving votes, quote unquote, honorable mention. I don't know where hashtag came from. That was weird. Jesus Luzardo got a first place vote. Michael King also got a first place vote. Nick Pivetta, Kodai Senga, Mackenzie Gore, Freddie Peralta, Chris Sale, Griffin Canning also got a first place vote. That's a freaking joke and a half. Brandon Thott, Clay Holmes, Zach Gallen, Dylan Cease, and Robert Suarez. So there are some very questionable guys on there, especially when you consider that, as Drew pointed out, the Philadelphia Phillies have three pitchers in the top five in B-War, and one of those three is not in this list at all in Christopher Sanchez. And Christopher Sanchez has a sub-3 ERA, and that is much better than Zach Gallen's, who is pretty close to five, for the record. As well as better than Chris Sales, who is also pretty close to five, and Griffin Canning, who has a FIP nearly a run higher than his ERA and an expected ERA a full run higher than his ERA. So, you know, while it's not as egregious as it would be at the end of the year, there's certainly some questionable decision-making going on at MLB.com. But speaking of questionable decision-making, we'll jump over to the American League now. And this one, this one's a lot more egregious for me, even in May. This one is highly egregious. We'll get to the others receiving votes later. But the top five, number five, Nathan Eovaldi. And, you know, one day soon, we're going to have to talk about this Texas Rangers pitching staff, especially the top three in it. And, you know, maybe they might be added to that pitching factory list that I have. But number four, member of the pitching factory, Hunter Brown with the Houston Astros, number four. Number three, Garrett Crochet, Boston Red Sox, not a pitching factory. And then the interesting thing here are numbers two and number one. Number two is New York Yankees ace Max Fried. And number one is the reigning, defending, undisputed triple American League Triple Crown and Cy Young winner, Tarik Skubal. And I don't want to take anything away from Tarik Skubal and the year that he's having, because he has been just as good this year as he was last year. But in no world is Max Fried not, to this point in the season, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. He has a 1.05 ERA, the best in Major League Baseball. A 0.91 whip, a 0.187 average against, again, wins and losses don't matter, but he does have a 6-0 record, and the Yankees are 8-0 in his starts. They have not lost a game that Max Fried has started to this point. In no world is Max Fried not the best, to this point, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. How do you feel about these top five in the American League for this poll, Drew?
Like I was saying, it's there's a lot of narratives to go on. Tarik Skubal is very, very good. He's an awesome pitcher. I definitely agree with you and Max Fried. The interesting thing about how this all breaks down, Tarik Skubal got 19 first-place votes, and Fried got 13. So it was pretty close. I think it probably should have been a little bit closer, yeah, because he's tearing it up. I can't imagine anybody letting him go in free agency. But I want to give a little bit of love to one of the receiving votes guys, and that is Tyler Mahle. Tyler Mahle is not a guy that you think about when you think about Cy Young worthy players. You don't think about Tyler Mahle in the same breath as all of these elite pitchers, but this year he has been that elite pitcher for the Texas Rangers. You know, he's got 1.9 BWAR right now, 147 ERA, 4-1 record, but he's already outperforming anything that he did in Cincinnati. Probably shy of 2021. 2021 was by far his best year. 4-9 BWAR and 125 ERA plus. He currently has an ERA plus of 261. So that's one of my things when it comes to this whole, when it comes to these awards, is there are narratives. And I think that the Texas Rangers need to start going a little bit over the top in terms of marketing their guys. I'm a voter on a number of college football boards, awards and stuff like that. Yeah, subtle flex, you know, whatever. And I got so many emails from Penn State talking about Tyler Warren. I got emails from Bowling Green talking about Harold Fannin for the Mackey Award and stuff like that. And one, it was super annoying because I already knew who those guys were. But two, it's something that you have to do when you're a lesser known commodity. If you're not paying attention to Bowling Green and you're not paying attention to Maction, which you should, you wouldn't know who Harold Fannin was. And it's going to be the same thing with baseball. You know, Tyler Mahle is having a phenomenal start to the season, but he's being overshadowed. Obviously, the guys ahead of him are all fantastic pitchers. Nathan Eovaldi, Hunter Brown, Garrett Crochet, you know, Max Fried, and Tarik Skubal. But I want to see a little bit more Tyler Mahle propaganda out there just for the simple fact that he's a new face when it comes to these discussions. Same thing with Hunter Brown. He has been fantastic to this point for the Astros. He leads... he leads AL pitchers and is fourth overall among all AL players with 2.2 F war when you do a 50-50 split between FIP and runs allowed per nine. So I want to see a little bit more Tyler Mahle propaganda, but that's just because I like to see former Reds do well, unless of course you're, you know, Aroldis Chapman, and the reason why you got traded away was not very good.
Okay, so this is a completely off of the Cy Young topic question, but it does have to do with the last sentence that you said. Do you hope that Sonny Gray does well for the St. Louis Cardinals?
No.
That's what I thought. Fun fact, he pitches against the Phillies tonight. We'll get to that a little bit later on. So, you know, I agree with you. Tyler Mahle definitely deserves better because of he's a great pitcher and he's been great. But others receiving votes on here, I'm gonna read these off. I want you to tell me of this list, what other than Tyler Mahle, what just freaking asinine name on this list stands out to you more than the rest? And it, again, popularity contest. So others receiving votes in the American League: Cole Reagans, Jacob DeGrom, Chris Bubich, Brian Wu. We're going to have to talk about him one day. I wrote about him the other day, and he's quietly the Mariners' best pitcher in that staff. Casey Mize, Chris Bassitt, Seth Lugo, Tyler Mahle, Andrés Muñoz, Carlos Rodon, Emmanuel Clase, and Joe Ryan. I may have given it away by the emphasis I put on the syllables, but Drew, who in that list stands out to you?
Last year, he was more than deserving to be on that list, even as a closer. You know, a ERA plus for a closer is a bit weird, but he had 667. Emmanuel Clase has not been the Emmanuel Clase of the last few years. Last year he was easily the top closer in baseball. He was locked down. He had a 0.61 ERA. This year it's 5.19, which obviously for relievers it's kind of weird because you only have one inning to work. But he's got a 5.19 ERA in 17 and a third innings, with a 78 ERA plus and minus 0.4 BWAR. Unfortunately, you know, the narratives work in the opposite direction. Narratives are that he was a, you know, freak show of an elite pitcher last year, and this year he has not carried it over, unfortunately for my Guardians brethren here in Ohio. Yeah, that's... The fact that he got a vote, I think, is one of those "I recognize that name" click kind of things, which is not what you want when it comes to voting. I don't know if the folks on this poll have actual Cy Young votes, or if it's just like the MLB.com staff, which they should probably know better if they're writing for MLB.com. I've run polls before in places that I've worked, and I can say with my full chest that the site that I managed before that you worked with me at probably is not as brushed up on everything that they should have, that folks on MLB.com should be brushed up on. So yeah, Emmanuel Clase kind of stands out, like multiple sore thumbs right now.
Yeah, and you know, to his credit, he did, as you said, he had a fantastic year last year. He finished third in American League Cy Young voting last year and 11th in American League MVP voting. Yeah, as a closer. He led the American League in saves with 47, and that was after two consecutive years in 2022 and 2023 when he led baseball in saves with 42 in 2022 and 44 in 2023. Also, to his credit, I will say his last four outings, he has not allowed an earned run in four innings. But still, at the same time, this is 100% a case of, hey, I recognize that name from a voter, because in no world should he be included in this list with the stats that he has put up so far this year. And I do, before we move on to today's games, I did, you talked about you having votes for college football. And you talked about Maction also. Now, before I ask this, I have a preface question. Are you allowed to say who you voted for publicly for college football awards, as Major League Baseball writers do for the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't think that they, I don't think that I have an embargo on that. Yeah.
Did you vote for the Maction player?
Absolutely.
Okay. I thought so. I know you love you.
Tyler Warren was, he was more than deserving, but I knew that I was going to get outvoted. So I needed to stump for him. I did vote for him for All American, and he was a consensus All American at tight end. And I try to shoehorn Maction guys in there if I can, if it's relevant, like, last year, Harold Fannin. 2 years ago, Quinyon Mitchell. Like, if it's appropriate, I'll do it. But I can't throw whoever the quarterback for the Akron Zips was last year. I can't. I don't think that I can throw him in there. Unfortunately. But yeah, I did vote for Harold Fannin for Mackey.
You know, if Bailey Zappi was still the quarterback, you could have.
Bailey Zappi went to Western Kentucky, so that was Conference USA.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I heard Akron Zips and thought of Bailey Zappi. You know, it fits. He should have played perfect for the Zips. Yeah, do you vote for the quarterback award?
Quarterback specific? No, I don't. Davey O'Brien? No. I have a so the way that it works in the Football Writers of America, Writers Association of America, we vote, and then the final panel tallies it and then maybe breaks ties or something like that. So I have a vote on Maxwell, which is often a quarterback award. Obviously, Ashton Jeanthey won it last year, but I do not vote on any quarterback awards. No.
Well, just know I'm going to be pining pretty hard this year for some Cade Klubnik love, because go Clemson.
You know, right now I'm on the Nuss bus, but that can change.
No, I'm a big, specifically from writing about him for Sports Illustrated, I am a big Cade Klubnik fan. He had a fantastic year last year, and he took a massive step forward in his development. But this isn't the college football podcast. This is the baseball podcast. So, and we got baseball games today. We got a full slate of games, no less. And they're all night games again, so Troy is sad. But 6-10 p.m. Eastern, Brewers and the Guardians. Quinn Priester, Logan T. Allen. Brewers look to move to 21 and 22. Guardians look to move to 25 and 17. 25 minutes later, 6:35 p.m. Eastern, Twins at the Orioles. Simeon Woods Richardson versus Cade Povich. Twins look to move to 22 and 20. Orioles look to move to 16 and 24. 5 minutes later, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at the Tigres. Ryan Bayo at Holton. I don't know his first name. Sorry, Holton. Red Sox, because I know you're listening. Red Sox look to move to 23 and 21. Tigers look to move to 28 and 15. Also at 6:40 p.m. It is Tyler. Oh, is he the? Yeah, he got a Cy Young vote last year. Wait, no. I'm sorry. He did not get a Cy Young vote. He got an MVP vote last year in the American League. He finished 15th in MVP voting, and he just had the most average season for a reliever. We went hard on that whenever those results came out. I was trying to think of his name earlier and I couldn't. That's why I didn't bring it up earlier. But anyway, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Chi Sox at the Reds, the pillow fight of the century. The Chicago White Sox look to move to 13 and 29. Reds look to move to 21 and 22. Cannon at Andrew Abbott. Drew, what you got on this game?
Ah, goodness. If there is ever a time that the Reds needed to face the Chicago White Sox, it's going to be now. And then I say that, and they're going to lose 2 of 3. Ever since that doubleheader sweep against the Cardinals, the Reds are 4-9. They were 3 games over 500, and we felt like we were on top of the world. You know, 3 games over 500 in Cincinnati right now feels like you're already in the World Series, and they are 4-9 since then, and they lost 3 out of 4 against the they lost 2 of 3 against the Nationals, 3 out of 4 against the Braves, 2 out of 3 against the Astros. And I am no rocket scientist, but I don't think that that's going to make for a winning season. So, yesterday was a much needed day off. That bullpen has been overworked to hell. And I'm really hoping that Andrew Abbott can go 7 or 8 innings just to continue to rest those arms. But no, the Reds, they need to get going. And facing the White Sox at this point in the season is great. But after the White Sox come to town, it's Cleveland and then it's Pittsburgh. And I have to do the math on that, and I'll do it later to see if we are going to miss out on Paul Skeens, which would be great. And then the Cubs. So the Reds need to get something going here. They really do. Because if you are coming out of this stretch, out of the end of May, still underwater, it's going to be difficult to claw back from.
The Reds definitely needed the White Sox in a big way. And just off the top of my head, Skeens pitched yesterday. So just off the top of my head, y'all should miss Skeens because his next start should come over the weekend. So y'all should miss Skeens, but don't quote me on that. 5 minutes after that, 6:45 p.m. Eastern, the Cardinals at the Phillies. Cardinals look to move to 24-19 behind Reds legend Sonny Gray. The Phillies look to move to 25-17 behind Jesus Lizard himself. 22 minutes later, 7:07 p.m. Eastern, Tampa Bay Rays at the Toronto Blue Jays. Shane Baz at Jose Berrios. Rays look to move to 19-22, and they've been much better on the road than they have been at home. And the Blue Jays look to move to 21-23. Minutes later, 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Pirates at the Mets. Mitch Keller at Kodai Senga. Pirates look to move to 15-28. Mets look to move to 28-15. 5 minutes later, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, Nationals at the Barves. Nationals look to move to 18-25. Braves look to move to 21-21. Michael Soroka, former Braves legend, at Spencer Schwellenbach, current Braves legend. So that's a fun pitching matchup there. 25 minutes later, 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Marlins at the Cubs. Belozo at Ben Brown. Marlins look to move to 16-25. Cubs look to move to 25-18. 25 minutes later, Colorado Rockies at the Texas Rangers. Kyle Freeland at Jack Leiter. Excuse me, two pitchers with ERAs above 5. Rockies look to move to 8-34. I don't know why that makes me laugh every time I say their record. Rangers look to move to 22-21. Sorry, Rockies fans, if there are any left. 5 minutes later, 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Royals at the Astros. Chris Boob Itch at Framber Valdez. Royals look to move to 26-18. Astros look to move to 21-20. An hour and a half later, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Angels at the Padres. Soriano at Cease. Angels look to move to 18-23. Padres look to move to 26-15. Also at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Yankees at the Mariners. Yankees look to move to 25-17. Mariners look to move to 23-18. Max Fried at Brian Wu. And by God, if this game didn't start at 8:40 my time, I would 100% watch this pitching matchup because this is 100% the best pitching matchup of the week. I don't even know what the rest of them are. Hands down, best pitching matchup of the week, Max Fried and Brian Wu, 9:40 p.m. Eastern. 5 minutes later, 9:45 p.m. Eastern, Diamondbacks at the Gigantes. Diamondbacks look to move to 23-20. Giants look to move to 25-18. Brandon Pfaadt at Robbie Ray. 25 minutes later, and the nightcap, 10:10 p.m. Eastern, Athletics at the Dodgers. TBD for the Athletics, Landon Knack for the Dodgers. Athletics look to move to 22-20. Dodgers look to move to 28-14. Any final thoughts on today's slate of games, Drew?
I love it when you say Gigantes because Latin sounding names give you all kinds of hell. I think the Marlins pitcher is Valente Belloso. the double L is yeah.
It's not Belloso.
I don't think it's Belloso, my friend. But you are correct in your assertion that Fried and Wu is by far the best pitching matchup. I do have one question for you, and it's going to be a softball that we need to. The Phillies have 3 of the best pitchers in the National League. Why aren't they better, Troy?
because offense and defense happened and bullpen.
That's fair. And Rob Thompson. But now it's not that. Yeah, no. Yeah, full slate of games. Love it. Love baseball. Not even
bringing up Rob Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Growth.
But Jesus Lizard, please finish. Just stop that win streak of the Cardinals, please, because I don't like seeing them above the Reds on the standings when they're not trying to win baseball games.
Yeah, definitely need Jesus Lizard to rise in this one. And speaking of that win streak, the Cardinals are on a 9-game win streak. It is the longest active win streak in Major League Baseball right now. The closest is 8 from the Minnesota Twins, but after that, the closest is 4 from the Toronto Blue Jays. And then the closest to 8 as far as losing streaks goes is 6 for the Washington Nationals, because don't sleep on the Nationals. But you can sleep on Dylan Cruz. I think his time has come and gone. But yeah, that's going to do it. This has been a show. We can say that at least. Hope y'all enjoyed it. It was fun. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this one goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can be so they can get their daily dose of baseball talk. And until that next daily dose of baseball talk, this has been First Pitch.